Welcome back, WNST, Tass in Baltimore, and WNST.net. I got to get Damien on the other side of me here. We got things it's been quite the day here at Fadley's. I don't have enough microphones for the whole Divine family here. We got three names, right? There's Fadley, Divine, and now Han. We got third generation involved here.
She's fourth.
The first one. Nancy corrected me here. Right. Don, something happened here during the break that I'm still recovering from.
Nestor, I don't know about you. We're in episode 19. Show the crab cake off. We've had so much fun, but we have not had more fun than we've had today at Fadley. So during the break, in addition to this beautiful crab meat, we were talking to some folks from out of town who I think are going to have their first real true adventure. They're going to enjoy a crab cake for the first time. They have no idea how they're about to go to culinary heaven. But during the break, one of your employees came up with something that did not look like a crab to me. It looked like something from the neighborhood, and he was trying to tell me what
you sell.
He was
a lot of exotic things here that I was not. What are you doing that lesson in market that I'm not aware of?
We're getting them from the Eastern Shore.
So tell folks what else.
I want Bill to tell a story because
the only muskrat I know is the captain in Tennille, right?
Muskrat love. That was not love.
That's the only muskrat I know.
So there's a rich history here at Lexington Market of selling game, literally, right?
Yes.
Right.
Seafood dealers used to sell all kinds of game, pheasant, quail, and they all became the province of the hunters. And the seafood dealers were forbidden to sell them. But we can sell the fur-bearing animals, we only sell the carcass because the people who trap them sell the pelts separately. And they're used for these fake coats and for the hats that people wear.
Sure.
The pelts are. And they once forbid us selling raccoon and muskrat, but I sued William Donald Schaefer, the city, the mayor.
After supporting him to be mayor.
Yeah.
He threw events for him and sued him.
And he just
that is
laughed.
Old school.
I wish you all could be here at Lexington Market with us.
I'm going to sit here and eat this crab cake. That's what I'm going to do.
The witnesses, go ahead, Bill. My witnesses on behalf of the muskrat were Hope Burrell and Jim Rouse. And Mary Arabian was the judge. And she was
Jim Rouse ate muskrat.
Certainly. He was Eastern Shore boy.
I thought he ate fried dough at the harbor.
He would buy them from us and have a dinner and serve them to Milton Eisenhower, for example.
For those of you lacking a little history,
I've lost control.
Milton
I'm just going to eat. You talk to these
Milton
people.
Milton Eisenhower, the president. Tell folks, the brother of President Eisenhower. Jim Rouse, of course, the godfather of Columbia, the godfather of Harbor Place. And now today we find out that his secret passion was muskrat.
You had a story you told us a little while ago that you almost wound up in Harbor Place.
Yes.
We got the stories of receivership. You've been here at Lexington Market forever. And you almost wound up in the square that I erroneously, how dare I
you
call
made
it McSteldon Square, which is what we've called it all my lifetime. But you had another name for it.
Sam Smith Park.
Sam Smith Park, which became McKeldon Park. We're trying to figure out what to do down there, but you came very, very close to being in Harbor Place,
yes,
as well as being, or were you going to move?
Second location. Second location.
Okay. And that never happened.
No. This would have been 1980.
No. We walked out 10 days before it opened because he wouldn't let us sell cooked food.
He told me a story that this wouldn't work at the harbor as a raw seafood because no one would carry a raw fish around the harbor. Mm-hmm. Literally, right? Literally.
Right. I just couldn't imagine someone carrying.
That's all they were going to allow us to
you
do.
You weren't allowed to make
sell fresh fish. No, we couldn't sell cooked food.
No, I could sell. We had designed and built a raw bar and the fish stall.
That middle section there that Phillips eventually took over, that was our design. Bill designed in Annapolis also that market there for, we were invited to go, we've been invited to go all over.
Why have you stayed here your whole lifetime? Why?
Great question.
It's easy. We come in here at 6 or 7 o'clock used to be in the morning, but now it's like 9 o'clock, and we close at 5 o'clock, go home, and have a decent life.
Well, and, oh, there you go. I want to build on that.
Boy, that didn't take long.
No, that, boy, you talk about the napkin speech, right, or the elevator speech. When we were in here on Friday, I went home, and I told people all weekend. I started with my wife, and I said, it was incredible. And I said, one of the things I was struck by, Nancy, was as customers left, as employees left, they would go out of their way. They would come over, and they would sort of push to us, and they would say, have a nice weekend, Miss Nancy. Have a nice weekend, Miss Nancy. You knew the customers. You knew the employees. Talk about that atmosphere here. And
people outside would never believe that still existed.
I was blown away. I mean, and it was nonstop. We're not exaggerating, right, Nestor?
No.
Well, you see the news. Everything's terrible down here until you come down here, and then you find out.
It's a special warmth. It really is. It's a warm place. The people, my people, are wonderful. Like I mentioned to you, I have four double generations still working
Amazing.
There.
Incredible.
That doesn't happen very often in businesses, except in small towns where people grow up.
They don't have other opportunities. Sure.
Yes, and
Baltimore is a small town.
But yes, Baltimore is a small town, and it's just wonderful. Let me tell you something. If I tripped on a curb out there, I'd have five people coming to help me. I am not intimidated by coming to this market.
If you're in the suburbs, I hope you're listening.
I'm 83 years old. I'm not scared. I've never been. People are gracious. They open the door for me. Now, I know that I'm familiar, and that has to do with part of it. But still,
I would call her an icon, but she'd wave me off.
Well, Damie, talk about your mom is talking about this atmosphere, this warmth. Here you are, fourth generation, and Nestor's going to throw you his microphone. Talk a little bit about growing up. I watched you this morning. I mean, you're a whirlwind. You're on top of everything. You're letting people in. You're taking care of phone calls. You're fighting the government. We're going to talk a little bit about that because I find that a fascinating issue. Was that ingrained in you? Tell us about your growing up. I mean, Nestor asked Nancy, how did you learn all this?
We didn't give them spending money. They had to earn it.
Oh, there you go. Talk about that. You didn't get any allowance.
No, you had to earn it.
Oh, no. We had to come in and work. You know, we had to come in here and help. From a young age, just like Mom did. You know, we came in here and we would do whatever we could. Pull sodas.
Wait on the fish.
We worked
customers.
On festivals for years. They had the wonderful festival, the city fair. I mean, the
Hopkins festivals, all the ethnic festivals that we would have, you know, how the
they
harbor.
Would invite us, and we the kids all worked, and their friends worked, and they loved it. They would, their friends would get, don't forget me, next time we're doing something, don't forget me.
Yes.
They loved it.
There are all these rumors out there, and you were so funny last Friday, Nancy, we were talking about, there are all these rumors about, you certainly aren't leaving here, you love it here, it's where your heart is, but anyone who's read The Sun knows that you're kicking the tires a little bit in Catonsville. It's very early in the process, and one of the things you seemed excited about was passing it on to yet the fifth generation.
Yes, right. Yes, absolutely, my grandson, and it's nice when you put so many years and work and time into building the reputation, and we've been invited to go to so many cities and to open, please come. And we love being here. This is home to us. And this is the way we feel when we come in here.
It doesn't
feel like work. And the people that we meet from all over the world, I mean, I'm just blown away. Bill and I think I mentioned to you, went on a visit to Ireland last year, and we're sitting in a restaurant, and this gentleman looks over at me and says, I know you. And I thought, well,
maybe.
I think maybe I look like somebody that he knows. We're in Ireland in a restaurant. And he said, no, I've bought crab cakes from you. Then
Amazing.
I realized he did know me. Now, he was an American. He was from Texas. But nonetheless, you know, it just blew me away. Here I am sitting in Ireland, and I was recognized.
Well, we're sitting 20 feet away here. So both you and Bill and Damie all did the same thing. Folks were looking at the menu,
yep.
And you all said, hey, there's some tourists. And they dressed like everybody else. And you said, oh, no. We can tell the regulars from the tourists. Describe for folks who are listening. What does the tourist look like?
It's this look on their face like, what is this place?
You know, right, we've never seen any,
we've never seen anything like this. And where do we start? And we just want to be, you know, they just want to be part of it. And then afterwards, when they walk up to me and say, that was amazing, what a wonderful experience, please don't change.
Oh, well, this young lady
and
that
they thank me.
This young lady that was sitting behind us here, she was in heaven with the chicken and the waffles and the crabs, and she was from Chicago, and you could just tell she was having the time of her life.
Oh, yes. And on Saturday here, it is just, it's family day on Saturday.
And Nancy is constantly asked for, can we take our picture with you? Will you hold my baby? You know, they're constantly being photographed. Well, they've seen them on one of the travel networks or one of the food shows or something like that, and they've heard about Fadley's, they've read about Fadley's. They're coming in for the true Baltimore experience. And when you walk in here, you see there's a million signs, there's a million accolades, there's things from the past 100 and some odd years of our family's business, and it's like a museum. You don't know where your eyes are going next. So there's a lot for them to take in. And, of course, it's not your typical restaurant. They come in and they expect chairs. Well, we don't have chairs. Right. We have a sloped floor. Fire department is not going to let us put in any chairs here. So we are, you're stacked up on a table next to other people that you don't know. So people are talking, one person, this lady from Chicago, might be talking to somebody that comes in from France or Russia. We had a group in from Italy that has markets in Italy and says, oh, will you do this in Italy? And I'm like, how in the heck are we supposed to do this in Italy?
But you might be able to do it in Catonsville.
Exactly. It's like, wait a minute.
One of the exciting things was, and again, long way to go, early kicking the tires, but we were so excited when you said, if you do end up in Catonsville and you do pass it on to the fifth generation, you have no interest in suburbanizing it. You want to recreate this.
You want
people in Catonsville to walk in
and have the same experience.
Mm-hmm. Have that experience.
Well, unfortunately, and it's nice that we get to go home at 5:30, but then there are people that come and say, we can't get there. We have to work. We'd love to be, we'd love to have it. We'd love to have your food. But, we're working all day, and they try to get here on Saturday maybe with their kids during the day. So this is going to give those people an opportunity to come in and taste our food and see what we're about. And everything is homemade here. We make everything here. And everything is recipes that I've developed over the years. Like the jumping
tell us,
on
tell
crab
us
cake.
The cold, tell us the cold, because I told you a coleslaw story, and then you picked,
said your
I said,
wife.
Oh, my wife went nuts, and she loves coleslaw.
I don't like coleslaw, but I like yours.
My wife is real picky about coleslaw, and she loved your coleslaw. So tell us, you had
well,
a coleslaw.
Well, I said that so does Tina Zagat like my coleslaw.
And I told you I didn't even know there was a Zagat. I knew what they are, but I didn't know they were real people.
Well, they're real people, and they've come here often over the years, and just a month ago, they were in here, but he raves about everything. I think Damie said he had everything on the menu, and they had taken an Uber
from Philadelphia
to get here for lunch.
He was going to be...
they have trains. We have trains.
Mr. and Mrs. Zagat, grab the train. Maybe they don't have to.
They were going to D.C. They were going to be...
Judges
at a
food...
culinary contest. And on their way down 95, they said, there's only one place we come and stop
pull
in Baltimore,
over.
And it's here. So they had the Uber pull up and had them wait while they literally ordered everything off the menu. It was soft crabs, it was the cod, it was it was oysters. And they had this huge table full. Poor Mr. Zagat, he had it all down the front of him, and his wife's going, oh my God, clean him up before I have to take him out there to judge. So I'm wiping him off with wet rags, before he gets back in the
We've
Uber
had
to
groups
take, go to
of
DC.
Women that come for lunch and got on a plane from Atlanta. We have people that drive down on Saturday from New York and go back.
New Jersey a lot.
Do you know?
Unbelievable.
Harrisburg.
Well,
a lot of people from Harrisburg.
You've got to tell, because you were talking, given that you were talking about that the Maryland crabs run out about Thanksgiving. you've got to tell us our friend Oprah's story, because it was it's such a good, you couldn't satisfy Oprah, could you?
Well, that's Bill's story. Bill, tell us about Oprah.
They wanted us to be in the part of the magazine.
Oprah kept calling to be in their Favorite Things magazine for Christmas.
Oprah. Yeah.
And
go ahead. I'm senior moment.
Senior moment. Okay.
You were telling me that you tried to explain to Oprah it wasn't that you didn't want to do it.
It was that we couldn't get Marilyn Crabb for Christmas.
Yeah.
And he said, if you want to put it in July, I'll be happy to do it in July. But don't ask me to try to sell extra crab cakes, because they kept saying, you're going to sell plenty of extra crab cakes. He said, but you understand, they're hibernating. I cannot provide extra crab in December.
I need a bear. It's winter.
Well, hey, we got muskrat. We may have bear. Yeah.
It's muskrat season.
That's right. It is. Well, muskrat season starts January 1.
Yeah. Give us some other of the... You've had so many celebrity encounters and experiences. I mean...
Oh, well, I have to tell you about Europe. You know, I went to Europe for Governor Schaefer for 10 years, back and forth to England, to Germany, mostly Germany, and Holland, and we went to, and I put on
London.
Crab Feast.
Reykjavik,
and I ended up also putting some feast on for the
TV Guide Europe.
But at one time,
Armed Forces Network also.
An Armed Forces Network. Yes, mm-hmm. I did shows for Armed Forces Network, and it was wonderful. And it benefited Red Cross. But Governor Schaefer at that time frame was, we were working on the international part of the airport, and he wanted these people to come over. And actually, Frankfurt is our sister city. I don't know if you were aware of that, in Germany. But there was a classmate of my husband's. In fact, he's going to be here in Maryland with the
First Infantry Division. They're having their annual meeting, and it's downtown at the Radisson in October. All the alumni of the division will be here.
So General Watts...
Terrific. How appropriate on D-Day that we're talking right?
General Watts had said he was going to retire. He was in charge of the 7th Corps there in Germany, in Stuttgart, and asked us to please come give a party.
The Crab Feast.
Crab Feast there. And we... made sure we wanted, and my dinner partner happened to be the son of the Desert Fox, Mr. Rommel, who was the Burgermeister at the time, and his wife was
my dinner partner
from Turkey. So it was an interesting evening. And later on in the year, I did a party for the German American Unity Foundation there at the Alta Opera House for 1,000 people, and took Marilyn Crabb.
And this, and again, folks, we're talking Fadley's right here, minutes away from wherever you are in the region, and we're going all over the world with these crab cakes. Jump back to that dinner with our General Rommel's son, and you're with the General Rommel's son. Wait, talk about the conversation at night and what tenor it took and what you all chatted about.
He was just extremely friendly, and he had a wonderful personality.
He was the... sage of of Germany.
He was tall, thin, and skinny, not like
Rommel's
his dad.
Small.
And he was just very outgoing and very, very friendly. And then when I met him again at the big event in Frankfurt, he kept ran right up to me and hugged me, and everybody was wondering how in the world does she know him. But we had spent the evening together and had gotten to be friendly. So it's just
the crab cakes.
Yes, and let me tell you this: I had crabs left over because, of course, a lot of the people there
were Americans.
But there were people there that had no clue how to eat these or what these things were that I presented to them. So I had them left over, and I had taken them from here all the way to Germany, and that's what I said. You know, I said, "May I give these to the guys, especially the American forces that are here?" And they said, "Oh, we don't do that. You know, they don't brown bag there."
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, I know, but I have some left, and I would want them to have them." And so they said, go ahead. So I made the announcement, and they were swarmed.
I'm sure they were.
To get these crabs.
Have you watched Nestor today?
He scarfed that right down.
And Nestor, before you ask that question, can I jump in with one?
She's good.
We're here. Nestor's going to jump
back in. Nice and warm. Thank you.
Jump back in a minute. But I'm moved by the fact that when the day that we're recording this, it's June 6th.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's D-Day. And I don't think you can talk to
Telling
your family.
Story.
I don't think you can talk to your family without getting.
Why? Yeah, you can't be sitting with people
sense.
In their 80s that were alive, and, which, you know, it's a story in a magazine to me.
And
right?
I Literally. Get an incredible sense of patriotism in your family and love of this country. So.
Well, we're special military. We are military.
I can tell it comes
but Bill,
through.
Tell him about.
We have one.
Tell him about Normandy.
Tell us about Normandy, Bill. Oh,
when Ronnie was there, and Roger
Randy.
Was there, and I was on Armed Forces Network at the same time frame, and they were at Normandy.
You talking about June 1944?
They were there to visit.
Well, I was a Boy Scout.
Gotcha.
You need to be about 90 to have been in the invasion.
But tell him there were three classmates.
There were three of us that ran together, the general, a man that's now buried in Arlington, and myself that all ran together, and Ramsey, the one buried in Arlington, had gone to Normandy, and Watts had donated a tank from the 1st Infantry Division, and a plaque was on there, and so he read the plaque, goes back to the hotel, turns the TV on, and she's on telly. They thought it was coincidental
that I am on there, and here they are at Normandy.
Yeah, I know this is very special to you guys in commissioning this. I mean, literally, the Navy's right down the road, right, in Annapolis, and I know that's a big part of your life as well, but you all were part of the Zumwalt, correct?
Yes, her husband. The thing
Jamie's
is,
husband.
It's
okay.
It's the purview of the local Navy.
I'm bringing a fifth mic next week. We got a celebrity family.
Of the local Navy League to commission these, and our Navy League was all 80 year old. We were out of the loop. Our networks were dead. And I says we can't do this, so I prevail on her hubby and her. Age group, and they put on a magnificent show. They raised $1.5 million and feasted these people on crabs
thought we were
Cup.
A poo-dunk city and couldn't do it.
Yeah, well, they've been saying that about Baltimore for a long time. Last thing before we wrap up, we're going to be doing some more. We have Mayor Jack Young joining us here on the 20th. We want to invite everybody down for a crab cake. I would give you mine, but the dog ate my homework. last thing on the crab cake. This is very important. I'm a fried crab cake guy. I prefer fried to broiled, okay?
Yes.
And my mom liked extra crispy. And so my mom always loved crab cakes. And that's the way we made them in my house, that they had a little edge.
That's right.
They had a little crunch.
That's what
And there's
I like.
Something sort of bacony about that flavor that I dig. So when you give me a crab cake and I say, make it a little extra crispy, I'm not offending the chef in saying that.
No.
Well, I have people here and they come up to me afterwards and say, how did you get that
beautiful.
On the outside? How do you get that crunch and that color on the outside of your crab cake?
I almost don't want one like a softball. I want it like a hockey puck because I want more of the edge.
That's right.
I want it more crispy.
Well,
so if I took your crab cake home, which I will do because sometimes, because you'll give me too many and I can't. People try to overfeed me. You met your daughter here. I mean, she's had donuts. We've had waffles.
It doesn't appear to be a problem.
I mean, it's not even 12 o'clock.
You have handled it.
And I'm not going to eat again until Monday. But I literally would take it home, and I would flatten it
out.
Well,
so I could get more crispy on it.
On the outside.
And you would never serve it that way because it would be ugly. You would never want a picture of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this pretty crab cake. And flatten it out, fry it up, dirty it up for me, and then let me eat it one little morsel. Crunchy sweetness at a time.
I flash fry at a very hot temperature. Oh, that's why.
That's why I love you.
Drop it down, flash fry it, and pull it up.
And
get that crispy on the outside, and then pull it
I'd
up.
I'd say when you're about to pull it up, no, leave it a little bit longer. Take a little bit longer.
You don't need to.
and then I want it.
Ask you this. I learned something on Friday. Never knew it. Been eating crabs my entire life. Miss Nancy said to me, I said, how long do I cook this up when I get home. How long? She said, here's the key to a crab cake.
Wow.
Can't be too hot. Can't be cold. It's got to be like the baby
room
bear. Just right, right?
Yeah,
just
yeah,
like
room
the park.
Room temperature.
And we did it, and my wife said, wow. They're
because
right.
you can really taste
the crab meat.
The crab
it's like
meat.
A wine at the right flavor.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes, yeah. yes,
never,
yes.
Never heard
you
that
can
in
taste
my
the
life.
Crab meat.
It was great advice. Great advice.
All right, all right.
Crab meat's cooked, ready to eat.
I'm going
to
break this off. We're bringing the mayor here back in 2 weeks. We're going to bring you guys back on. We'll find out, you know. I want to learn more about muskrats and...
How about this? Is this family a Baltimore positive story or what?
Absolutely. And my wife does not like fish. And we went out to dinner down in Anne Arundel County the other night. And a dear friend of mine went out and caught, Pasquale, caught a rockfish. And they don't have it on their menu. It's an Italian restaurant. And we went in for dinner. And he did it up with lemon and capers.
Oh, wonderful.
And my wife ate it. And she's like, this is the best. She's never eaten fish before last night, 12 hours ago. I was over there and I saw a rockfish. And I said, I can take that home now.
Yeah.
And I think we can fix that up. So I'm even working my wife because you got a can. Kansas husband. My wife's from New Hampshire, and she doesn't even eat clams. You know, how do I get a New England wife doesn't like seafood? But we're going to bring her over here. She loves crab cakes, so we'll get her the good stuff, and we're going to see the mayor on the 20th. Thank you for your partnership and for your awesomeness here for 150 years in your family, and just the beginning, right, Don?
Bill, thank you for your service, all your friends that serve, your commitment to the nation.
We were here doing the first segment with Don Fry, and a gentleman came up in the middle and just wanted to be interruptive, kind of. And he says, Semper Fi, Semper Fi. And we're like, oh, we got a Marine Corps guy here. So we've had a lot of military here on D-Day, too.
It doesn't get any better than spending the day at Fadley's for Baltimore Positive.
Well, Lexington and Margaret, we're signing off for now, but not for forever. Be back on the 20th with Mayor Jack Young for the Fadley, Divine, and Hanfit. Is that again, everybody? And the Lexington family and the Moeller family.
Everybody.
We are Baltimore Positive, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and WNST.net, AM 1570. We never stop talking Baltimore sports.